Bitter Brexit negotiations enter a new round. And reforming tax havens, where are we?
We can say that today, bank secrecy is over.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. 3 weeks, that's how long Britain has to figure out what it's paying the EU in its divorce settlement. That's the warning today from European negotiators as the two sides meet for a sixth round of talks, which have made slow progress. The BBC's Adam Fleming is in Brussels.
Before Brexit talks can move on to trade and a transition deal, the remaining 27 member states have to prepare guidelines for their chief negotiator, Michel Barnier. The BBC understands those preparations are moving slowly because they're waiting for the UK to clarify its offer on money. Diplomats believe that has to be done in 2 to 3 weeks, a month at maximum, so there's enough time to get the work done before the next summit of European leaders in December. The UK may see that as an ultimatum, and during this sixth round of negotiations, British officials will continue to challenge the EU's financial demands. In Brussels, I'm the BBC's Adam Fleming for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in both Asia and Europe are mixed. London's FTSE is slightly down as the Brexit talks continue. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed up 229 points, or 0.8%, as President Trump concludes his visit to China. Now, on Monday, we told you about the arrests of 11 Saudi princes in a wide-ranging operation by the new crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman. Some observers say corruption is an excuse being used by the crown prince to neutralize rivals as he tries to reform the country. The BBC's Yolande Nell has been speaking to young Saudis about the crackdown.
Saudi Arabia remains rigidly conservative, but it's striving to be modern. Its young population is restless for reform. 6 in 10 Saudis are aged under 30.
The sense that I got from my Saudi friends and the Saudi public sphere as well, which, you know, you can tap into on Twitter, there was elation.
Ali Shaban from Riyadh is studying in Washington, D.C., but he's enthusiastically following what's going on back home.
The people that have been arrested have always been deemed to be untouchable. And so this sends a message that that is over and that no one is untouchable and there will be no tolerance anymore for corruption and waste in the economy.
But you don't have to look for long online before you find dissenting Saudi voices. A satirical cartoon suggests Mohammed bin Salman is just consolidating his own power, laughing as he locks his royal cousins in a cage. Recent days have seen many other changes in Saudi Arabia, including in its conservative culture. A loosening of tight restrictions on women allows some to join the audience at this extreme sports show for the first time. But while many young Saudis are applauding such steps, for now, the direction the country is taking looks very uncertain.
Yolande Nell in Saudi Arabia. This week, the Paradise Papers reveal details on the tax affairs of the super wealthy, and they refocus the spotlight on offshore tax havens, places like Bermuda, Mauritius, Trinidad. Pascal Saint-Amans, head of tax at the OECD, has been telling me more about the rise and reform of these so-called havens.
40 years ago, it was a limited issue, marginal for secret services and a few high net worth individuals. Now it's at the core of globalization. The economy has globalized, has financialized, and as a result, the offshore jurisdictions have had an increasing role in that system.
What do you think the most ideal system would be then? I mean, is there a way to have a kind of global tax system that is fully transparent?
We cannot have a global tax system for a simple reason, that tax is at the core of sovereignty, consent to tax is at the core of democracy. That said, the economy is globalized and nations cannot just stay domestic. So what we need is tax cooperation.
But they're not going to do that, are they? I mean, the whole point of tax havens is to compete with other countries and say, hey, bring your money here.
You have two issues there. One, which is tax competition. In the UK, for instance, you're pretty good at that. You have a pretty low corporate income tax, but it's transparent. What is unfair is that you say to people, come here, you will hide from your authorities. And this is what we are fighting. And to improve that, you need transparency. And you need also to update the international tax rules, which were initially developed back in the 1920s with old rules. That's what we've been doing for the past 5 years at the OECD, changing the rules for all the countries from the US to Europe.
Europe, to India, to China, so that companies, because here we're talking about multinational companies, would locate their profits where they have activities instead of this current divorce between the location of the profits in tax havens where they are not taxed and the location of the activities where you have the markets or the manufacturing.
So what changes do you think are going to come as a result of the Paradise Papers? Anything significant?
Well, changes have been happening for about 10 years. And what did trigger the changes was the financial crisis. People couldn't understand that the wealthy, the high net worth individuals or the multinational companies wouldn't pay their fair share of tax because of loopholes in the international tax system. Now, you have had a number of leaks, Swiss leaks, LuxLeaks, Panama Papers, now Paradise Papers. What they do is that they help keep the political pressure to make sure that changes happen.
The OECD's Pascal Sanamans. You can find a longer version of our interview at marketplace.org. Finally, here's a fishy fact. Pet ownership is in recession here in the UK. New research says it fell 7% in the last 5 years, with fish ownership taking the biggest plunge. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service.